Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
From the Over the Top Studios in Boulder, Colorado, I'm George Thomas. You're listening to the Boswell Chronicles, catching up with Ian, who is currently training in the mountains of France. Ian, it's great to chat with you again.
Yeah, it's good to be back, George. Sorry we didn't get to connect straight after tour of California, but I guess better late than never.
Absolutely. Well, let's do a wrap-up of those final two stages for you. One, you were really looking forward to that Tahoe stage. What happened that day?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of easier to look back on it now because I kind of have some perspective and stuff rather than had we spoke right after the race. But yes, I guess trying to remember back to that Tahoe stage, it was a hard, kind of, I'd say the queen stage of the race. I think we had, I don't know, 10, 12,000 feet of climbing. And it was a hard day, a strong breakaway went, and BMC rode pretty much the whole day until the base of the final climb, which the Daggett summit climb. And it's kind of, everyone knew that Bernal had to attack and take some time and try to, you know, take the GC off of TJ. And I mean, his plan went to perfection. You know, he attacked on the climb and his team set a hard pace at the bottom. And unfortunately I was distanced and, you know, kept fighting and, you know, kind of stayed in my same place around 20th GC. But again, kind of same as Gibraltar, just didn't really have the best legs on the day. And, was just, yeah, not dis- at the time it was pretty disappointing. Looking at it now, I have a lot more perspective on what I learned there and whatnot. Then the last day was a sprint day in Sacramento, and we kind of went all in for Marcel as our last chance to get him a stage win there. And I think the team, we were pretty motivated to try and, you know, finish on a high after what kind of been a tough week with, you know, myself not performing to the level I would hope to, and Marcel had not won a sprint. And kind of more of the same, unfortunately. The sprint train got a little bit disorganized in the final, and he didn't really have a clean run at the finish for a sprint. So we kind of left it empty-handed, but we did go to Texas Roadhouse after the race, and the European boys really enjoyed a big American feast.
Well, sounds like a nice way to wrap up that week. So what did you learn from the tour of California? And one, did going into that without the race miles that you've had in the past due to illness, injury, did that throw you off?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, you know, and I had gone out, as we spoke before, to California beforehand and had done some good training. But you know, I guess, you know, I don't want to say I haven't been working hard. I've definitely been, you know, I've been training and doing all the training that's prescribed and been focusing on, you know, everything. But I guess California was kind of, the race in general was kind of a reminder that the little things really do kind of add up. You know, whether it's just, you know, taking a daily nap or, you know, going to bed early or, you know, eating healthy, you know, all the time. You know, it's not like I didn't go to California and, you know, my weight was where it needed to be and my training was where it needed to be. But, you know, they're just very kind of nano measurements that that add up at this level, you know. And sometimes I think as I get older, you kind of sometimes forget how hard you worked when you were younger or when you're, yeah, I don't know how to say it, when you're, you know, at a younger age, you're so hungry, and I'm hungry now. And I think, you know, having that performance in California was really disappointing, but it also, in hindsight, has given me, you know, allowed me time to kind of reassess where I need to be and what I need to do to make the Tour de France, which, you know, has been a dream of mine since I was, you know, 10 years old, watching Armstrong on the TV, back in Oregon, you know, waking up early to watch that. And now I'm so close to, you know, achieving that dream that, there's just a good, you know, a week after the race to kind of reflect and realize, you know, I'm really am hungry to ride the Tour and to make the selection for the team. And I also mentioned to the team that, you know, I want to do the Tour, but I only want to go if I'm able to do the job that I'm required to do. You know, I don't want to go to the Tour and just ride around and, you know, try and finish. I want to be there in the mountains to help Zacharin, and, you know, be there on the flats to, you know, assist Marcel in the sprints if I need. So, there's just a bit of a kind of a kick in the behind to remind myself, you know, how fortunate I am and how hard I have worked for so long to come to this point and how close it is here now, and to not lose sight of where I am and also what it still takes to make it on that Tour de France team.
So what are you doing right now? Have you changed your training? What changes are you making?
Again, nothing drastic. So I had already planned to come up to Isola 2000, which is just outside Nice. After California, I'd already booked a place up here. And, you know, kind of I booked it in kind of knowing that if I didn't book it, I maybe wouldn't come. Because I think, you know, like I was saying, as you get older, you become more comfortable in life. And, you know, in Nice, I have a great setup and I have, you know, all my little things there that I enjoy. You know, I have my nice coffee machine. I have a car. I know, you know, which grocery stores I want to go to get what. It's very easy and I'm very comfortable there, which makes it, you know, which is very conducive to performing well. Which also makes it sometimes hard to go to a place like altitude. Like here in Isla right now, it's, you know, ski season's over and it's not summer season. So there's no one up here. There's no grocery stores. There's, you know, there's nothing open, you know, it's just me and Larry and, a couple, you know, construction workers doing some off season construction. So, it's not the easiest place to get motivated to go to. But having had booked it beforehand, you know, coming here, it was really just what I needed, you know, just to get into the mountains, you know, to live just super, super simply for 10 days before Dauphiné and just kind of relax and, you know, train hard, but just really kind of go forward with a single focus. And I think, you know, as you get older, I mean, you can probably attest to this, you know, you get busier with different things and, you know, you get pulled in different directions and, it's just a place to really come and just do the little things right. And like I said, just live with a single focus, which is kind of what I needed to do to get ready for, you know, for the Dauphiné, which starts this weekend and then hopefully to prepare for the Tour. So it's, like I said, I've been working hard all year. It's just, you know, that race in California was just a good reminder of, you know, the little things.
I was going to say, going up to a ski area, one other person, nothing but riding, nobody around. That sounds like heaven.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, to a degree, like we used to come up here. I've been coming up here since my first year in Nice, just to, you know, I grew up in Oregon in the mountains. So to come up to the mountains, it's always nice. You know, it's peaceful. It's quiet. You know, the geography is different. The, you know, terrain is different. The trees are different. But yeah, it's just, there's something peaceful about it, you know. I don't want to be all spiritual, but, you know, just something in my soul is very at ease and relaxed in this environment.
So I saw some footage that you posted yesterday of one of the climbs that you did. You're talking into the camera. Looks like you're going at a very high rate of speed as you're having this conversation. Looks like you're really fit and ready. Anything specific that you're seeing that you need to really ramp up going into the Dauphiné?
Well, looks can be deceiving, George, but I am feeling fit and I am feeling ready. And, you know, kind of going back to what I told the team after California, I actually sent an email to the management and the directors and the coaches and just kind of said, like, hey, listen, guys, can we do kind of a little review and just see what, you know, what are your thoughts on why I'm not performing? Is it a weight thing? Is it a training thing? Is it a, you know, a mental thing? Just to get feedback. And I think that's one positive, one positive element of coming to this team is I am very confident here and I'm very open with the team and I'm not afraid to kind of speak my mind and to be honest with them. And, you know, I'm not trying to hide anything and pretend like I'm going really well when I'm really not, you know. And I sent a very honest email just saying, hey, listen, let's kind of look at what I've done. Let's dissect it. And let's, you know, I want to go to the tour. You guys want me at the tour. Let's make sure that I'm, you know, arrive ready and can make the team and, give my best effort to the guys there. So we haven't really changed much. Obviously being at altitude, there's a benefit of just being at altitude, you know, and, your body adapts to it. Your body's working harder, you know, all the time, even sleeping, just because there's less oxygen in the air. Being up here, there's, you know, obviously some tremendous climbs, some big climbs. And I think the video I posted yesterday that you saw was up on Col de Bonnet, which goes up to 2,800 meters, which is like the highest paved pass in all of Europe. So, I think from the bottom to the top was like an hour and 30 minutes or something, riding at a pretty good speed. So, there's great training here. And I think, when I am down in Nice, I tend to ride with other people a lot and I'm a very social person, which is great. And, you know, I always get out the door and motivated to go, you know, riding, cause I get to go chat with my friends and go for a nice ride and, you know, do a coffee stop, whatever. But up here, you know, there's no one to ride with. You know, Larry's here, but he came later than I was because he was up in Norway racing. So just riding by myself for some time and kind of having time to think and process things. And like I said, just kind of realize how close I am to this dream of mine of riding the tour is, it's kind of been a life journey. And to be, you know, have this time to kind of really reflect on all that it's taken to get here, all the people who have helped me along the way, I think mentally it's a positive place for me to be up here as well.
When will you know if you're named to the tour team?
I don't know. So I'm heading to the Dauphiné this weekend. It starts on Sunday with a prologue up in Valence. And I've already planned an altitude camp up in Livigno in Italy following that. So we're going to do a couple days of tour recon. I mean, I guess it was more of myself panicking of not making the tour than the team panicking. I'm still going to do some recon of the tour after the Dauphiné with the team. And then I'll come back to Nice for a couple days rest. And then my fiance Gretchen's flying in from the US and we're going to head up to Livigno with a couple other teammates and, having a good showing at Dauphiné would definitely, you know, kind of keep me in the team for sure. And then just kind of how the run up into the race goes, you know, it's still goodness. I mean, it starts on July 7th. So, you know, over a month, away from now. So there's plenty of time. But it's just a matter of staying focused. And I guess kind of going back to, you know, my disappointment of California, in hindsight, it probably was a good thing that I wasn't absolutely, you know, flying there and, you know, riding at my best because that's a long time from the end of California to the start of the tour.
Very good point.
You know, to keep that fitness and just to keep, you know, keep on top of everything. That's a long way. So like I said, it was, you know, I wasn't terrible in California. I, you know, didn't ride to my own expectations. But like I said, you know, in this sport, you know, things very seldomly go the way you want, you know, very few, every race, only one rider wins. You know, so everyone else is, you know, usually disappointed. So just to, you know, it's a good block of training and racing and kind of just, like I said, a good reminder going forward to, you know, to keep working hard.
What's your role at the Dauphiné?
So we're going there with Zacharin, who I think he's been top five there. You know, he was third in the Vuelta last year. So he's our GC guy for the tour. You know, he's definitely capable of, you know, a top five in the tour, a podium. So my role there would just be to help him and assist him. And, you know, I really want to show him and the team that I'm, you know, capable candidate to be his wingman. And, we raced together a lot this year. We built a good relationship, and I just want to continue with that. And, you know, if he shows up and, you know, contending for, you know, top overall placing, then, you know, I'd love to be a key part to his success and the team's success.
Now, Ian, that brings up a question. I was just thinking, you know, when you were with Sky, I remember you went to Chris Froome's place in South Africa and you trained with him for a week. Same kind of relationship with Zacharin?
Yeah, definitely developing into a good relationship. You know, we roomed together at our second team camp in January. We roomed together in, was it Pays Basque? We roomed together. And so we've spent a lot of time together. We get along really well. You know, we communicate even when we're away from races. And that's part of the reason why I'll be going to Livigno after the Dauphiné, because he's heading up there with his family and a couple other guys. You know, so just to spend more time together, to ride together, to train together. And I think, you know, going through something like a Grand Tour with a rider who is capable of, you know, contending for the overall, you know, having a close relationship is, I think, important. You know, it is a job, and, you know, you're oftentimes, you know, forced to work with people. But I think you get a lot more out of each other when you have a lot in common off the bike as well. And I think for me and for Zacharin, it's important. And, you know, it's good to build a certain level of trust just being, you know, racing together for the first time this season.
You know, it's so interesting and good for me to hear you talking about bringing your fiance out, families going up to your training camp. And I mean, just as someone who kind of came of age in the 80s when Greg LeMond was the first person to bring his wife out, and that was such a big issue. And that's now very commonplace, correct? And not frowned upon or anything, supported?
Yeah, the culture of cycling has definitely changed. And I think the understanding of how much we suffer on the bike, it's important to be happy and, you know, content off the bike. And if that means, you know, going to an altitude camp with, you know, your wife or family or kids, then that's important. It's also, you know, different riders have different, you know, stimuluses, I guess you can say, what they prefer. You know, some riders maybe would prefer to go to altitude without, you know, their family so they can really focus. And some people want that, you know, kind of distraction off the bike and when they're not training. You know, Gretchen and I, we don't have kids, so it's not like it's a strain. I'm up at 2 a.m, you know, changing diapers or feeding a baby. You know, so for her to come to altitude, it's also nice for me to share what I'm doing. And, you know, she's super supportive and super helpful. And, you know, even kind of going back to my relationship with Zach, if his wife's up there, then, you know, it brings us closer together. You know, if we all go out to dinner together and, you know, we're there with our families, and it kind of adds an element of connection that maybe is not always there when you're just at a race, you know, man to man, when you bring your families together.
Ian, I sure appreciate you taking the time to chat today. I'd love to bring up one more thing. You're actually putting on an event later this summer.
I am, yeah. So the Peachum Fall Fondo, you can check it out on our website, which is peachumfallfondo.com. Yeah, it's going to be a gravel ride, a gravel fondo. I'm in the process of mapping out the course. I think I've got it dialed. It's about a 45-mile course with, I think, 4,500, 5,000 feet of climbing. And the main reason I'm doing it is just to kind of bring people to my new home in Peachum and bring people to the community and get the community excited about cycling. You know, it's a small town and community I live in, and a lot of people there still don't really grasp what I do for a living. You know, so I want to show them, you know, kind of share what I do for a job, but I also want to bring people in and kind of give back to the community, because, you know, being a small Vermont town, there's a lot of, you know, community activities that I'm not able to be a part of because I'm not there. And, you know, in rural Vermont, that's such an important part of, you know, kind of your livelihood and your existence is being part of this community, which I'm unable to be a part of at this point in my life. You know, so by doing and go ahead.
Oh, what's the exact date?
It's October 13th, in Peachum. And yeah, it's, I'm looking forward to it. It's, you know, all the funds raised are going back into the community and a community project to do the new pavilion in the center of town. And yeah, just, I mean, I just want to show people where I live and where I ride and, you know, kind of share the beautiful, you know, Vermont foliage in October.
I was going to say, there is no prettier place to be than Vermont in October. That is spectacular.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I'm trying to make it, you know, it's not going to be a fancy, you know, VIP Grand Fondo. We want it to be a very Vermont event. And, you know, whether it's the food or the ride, or, you know, the setting of it is all going to be very authentic and just kind of show off the natural beauty of the place.
Well, Ian, I look forward to checking in with you again as you prepare for the Dauphiné and throughout the stages of the event as well.
Yeah, thanks so much, Georgia. We'll catch up maybe before the Dauphiné and then throughout the race.
Really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us, Ian. Have some great training up there at altitude and look forward to talking with you soon.
All right, thanks, George.
From the Over the Top Studios in Boulder, Colorado, I'm George Thomas.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.